Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Satsangan Mukta Duk Sango. Hatum Dot Sahate Buddha. Kityamanam Yasho Yasya. Sakrit Akarnya Rochanam. Tasmin Yasta Diyak Partha. Saheran Viraham Katam. Darshana Sparsha Samlapa. Sayanasana Bhojanai. Translation: the intelligent who have understood the Supreme Lord in association with pure devotees have become freed from and have become freed from bad materialistic association can never avoid hearing the glories of the Lord, even though they have heard them only once. How then could the Pandavas tolerate his separation? For they had been intimately associating with his person, seeing him face to face, touching him, conversing with him, and sleeping, sitting, and dining with him. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. The living being's constitutional position is one of serving a superior. He is obliged to serve by force the dictates of the illusory material energy in different phases of sense gratification. And in serving the senses, he is never tired. Even though he may be tired, the illusory energy perpetually forces him to do so without being satisfied. There is no end to such sense gratificatory business, and the conditioned soul becomes entangled in such servitude without hope of release. That's the bad news. Here's the good news. The release is only effected by association with pure devotees. By such association, one is gradually promoted to his transcendental consciousness. Thus he can know that his eternal position is to render service unto the Lord and not to the perverted senses in the capacity of lust, anger, desire to lord it over, etc. Material society, friendship, and love are all different phases of lust. Home, country, family, society, wealth, and all sorts of corollaries are all causes of bondage in the material world where the threefold miseries of life are concomitant factors. By associating with pure devotees and hearing them submissively, attachment for material enjoyment becomes slackened, and attraction for hearing about the transcendental activities of the Lord becomes prominent. Once they are, that is, one slackened, the other prominent, once they are so prominent, once you've progressed a little bit in spiritual life, they will go on progressively, without stoppage, like fire and gunpowder. Nice example. Spontaneous devotional service is being compared to fire in gunpowder. Kaboom! Or something like that. It is said that Hari, the personality of Godhead, is so transcendentally attractive that even those who are self-satisfied by self-realization and are factually liberated from all material bondage also become devotees of the Lord. Under the circumstances, it is easily understood what must have been the position of the Pandavas, who were constant companions of the Lord. They could not even think of separation from Sri Krishna, since the attraction was more intense for them because of continuous personal contact. His remembrance by his form, quality, name, fame, pastimes, etc. is all attractive for the pure devotee, so much so that he forgets all forms, quality, name, fame, and activities of the mundane world. And due to his mature association with pure devotees, he is not out of contact with the Lord for a moment. My goodness, isn't the Srimad Bhagavatam a very deep subject? Isn't it? Very, very deep. Very, very deep. There's so many things I'd like to say, so let's just say a few of them. Srimad Bhagavatam is a Paramahansa Samhita. Samhita is a scriptural writing, like Brahma Samhita, Paramahansa Samhita. It's a literature for the topmost transcendentalists. At the same time, it's such a literature that it's meant for the most unfortunate, sinful people victimized by the age of Kali. Janata Agha. People of this world that are afflicted by mountains of sin and the reactions of those mountains of sin. It's such a literature. And that means, and everybody in between. Everybody's eligible. It's approachable by everybody. Just like Krishna is approachable by everybody, regardless of one's good fortune, misfortune. He's the shelter of everyone. The Srimad Bhagavatam is taking the reader from the darkest place of ignorance to the topmost place of transcendental love of God. That topmost place of transcendental love of God is Braja. And along with Braja, the deeply mysterious pastimes of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, where in Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur's language, he is making complete that which is otherwise not complete. This is a Brahma Samhita message. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, so when Krishna appeared, Krishna is not incomplete, but the pastime that he performed, he felt incomplete. That is, experiencing the love that Radha has for him, the happiness she experiences within that love, and how she experiences his qualities, which then stimulate her love. The qualities in him which she perceives, how she perceives his qualities. An unfulfilled business. Prabhupada describes this like an addendum. Somebody writes a book and it's done, the end. And then they have some afterthoughts. Well, some additional thoughts that I wanted to write were, and then they write an addendum. It's not superfluous. It's an essential part of the book. But, you know, the thought is complete, and now here's some further thoughts on that which is already complete. So it's not that Krishna is incomplete, but transcendental language says Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his pastimes make Krishna Loka or Goloka Vrindavan complete, without which it's incomplete. So, what is so special about Braja? I mean, this is the verse about the Pandavas. And then Prabhupada takes it, you know, further down the line. So we'll go down the line. Then we'll go to the Pandavas and then we'll go to Braja. A living entity captured within the illusory energy, having a constitutional position that's meant for serving, but having lost sight of the relationship with Krishna, serving instead something else, non-Krishna, or apparently non-Krishna, the illusory energy. And Prabhupada gives his lists of those masters by which the illusory energy keeps the living entity busy in service. You know, the classic is friendship, family, and love. And these are, you know, these are valued in the world, friendship, family, and love. But he's giving it a different complexion. They're illusory masters, because the real master is Krishna. Now, go back and, you know, friendship, family, and love can certainly be with Krishna in the center, and that's altogether different. But when Krishna is not in the center and Krishna is absent, it's the illusory energy. It's a fundamental teaching of Srimad Bhagavatam. It's one of the four Chaturshloki verses of the Bhagavatam. That which is seen to have value, I think I discussed this when I was here already, to have value in and of itself, devoid or without, separated from relationship with Krishna, know that to be my illusory energy. That's the verse. Illusory energy. It has value, family, society, friendship, and love. They're intrinsically valuable, minus Krishna. Illusory energy. So one serves such masters, thinking this is laudable. And then, you know, then the circle expands. Home, country, family, society, wealth, and all sorts of corollaries are all causes of bondage in the material world, where the threefold miseries of life are concomitant factors. Like this question last night of young man, you know, I really like the association of devotees, but out when I leave the association of devotees and go out and about, it's very stressful. What to do, what to do? Don't go out of the association of devotees. Or see that as the illusory energy. Don't expect it to be anything other than what it is. It's devoid of Krishna energy, consciousness, and living entities being conducted by that rapidly moving, not stream, but gushing river. It's relentless. And that's also expressed here. The demand of the living entity to seek happiness through sense gratification even is not there, and relentlessly do it again and again and again and again and again and again and again, and tirelessly do it. Even they get fatigued, they're forced to do it anyway. No wonder the mode of ignorance is prominent. People get depressed. Oh, I want out of here. But they don't know how. They don't know what here is. And so out of here means, you know, take to some addiction or intoxication or madness or something. And then take some Prozac or something. But back to the starting point. The living entity has his constitutional position as a servant. You accept an illusory master, and there's no happiness there. But it's still your constitutional position. You can't depart from it. It's a hopeless situation. So that's the first picture. But then the hope is there through association of devotees. And Prabhupada, like in a very quick sentence, through association of devotees, one gradually, progressively comes to their original consciousness, the natural spiritual consciousness, their Krishna consciousness is restored. What does that look like? Where there's a slackening, a natural slackening of the propensity to seek enjoyment through illusory activity. It happens naturally. There's rules and regulations for it, but even without the rules and regulations for it, it happens naturally. Through association of devotees. Now, of course, there's qualities of devotees. And of course, there's qualities of those who associate with the qualities, various qualities of devotees. But leave that spectrum of, you know, higher and lower qualities of devotees and lower and higher qualities of those who are seeking relief from the onslaught of the material energy. The intermediate message here is there are two very common depictions, there's a very common depiction of those who are, you know, like the pyramid. At the base of the pyramid is the unregulated everybody. They're not even human beings yet. They're not regulated by codes of the Vedas or scripture of any kind. Then the pyramid gets a little narrower, and there's people that accept. They purposely submit themselves to the regulations of scripture. Why? They want elevation. They want prosperity. They accept Dharma because they want Artha. They want Artha because they want Kama. Regulations of scripture. And those persons think there's nothing more than enjoyment in this life and higher gate of enjoyment in the next life. Nothing more than that. That's it. Karmakanda in the Vedic picture. You need qualified brahmanas. There still have to be submission to qualified brahmanas. There have to be qualified brahmanas. And then submission to qualified brahmanas to make it work. Otherwise it doesn't work. And then a little bit about, so the ladder goes. Recognition, well, gee, there's another position after this life, then I need to think about what it is that goes on to the next life. I need to think about through that detachment from sakam karma and nishkam karma yoga. And then, so it goes up. Gradually, gradually, lifetime's worth of gradually, one may come to the position where now I'm interested in liberation. Of course, that's rare. Krishna says it's rare. Manusha nam sahasra yushus kashchid yatati. So, out of many thousands among men, hardly one endeavors for perfection. And of those who achieve perfection, hardly one knows me in truth. So then there's people that wish to know something about Brahman, that which is eternal, Sat, the Sat feature. And then the Paramatma feature, and then the Bhagavan feature. And what's being said in this verse is those who have heard even once about this Bhagavan feature, it's very attractive. Not to everybody. are those very rare out of many thousands. Now I'm going to take that picture, which you're familiar with, and we'll go to China for a moment. China is a fascinating place because there's a lot of people there. 1/4 of the world's population lives there. That's a lot of population. And some of you have heard me say this before, they don't have a word in their language for God. So it's challenging for the translators. You know, Sri Bhagavan Uvacha, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, said they have to come up with something because there isn't a word. How many words are there in Sanskrit? Let's start with, you know, Vishnu Sahasranam. There's a good starter. But you get the picture. There isn't a word because they don't have a concept. Try to, like, process that for a moment. They don't even have a concept. But they're constitutionally servants, as we are. So, very popular is Buddhism. There's no concept of God. There's concept of same as I was just describing, the root of suffering in Buddhism, the teachings, is desire. Desire implicates one in misery. So solution? Become desireless. Get out a dagger and stab yourself as many times as it takes until you don't have any desire left. And then what happens? You go into a state of nothingness. That's the goal. And they don't really have, you know, the Vaishnava alternative to that. So when they get the Vaishnava alternative, that this is my experience. There's a spectrum of responses, but one of those spectrums is, wow. And I'm developing some relationships with some people that have that wow experience, and they don't know what the wow is, but they know it's wow. I mean, one of them was visiting in Tibet. They were going to visit a Buddhist monastery in Tibet. And they were thinking, maybe my calling in life is to become a monk, a Tibetan monk. And somewhere on their way to the Tibetan monastery, they saw a devotee, one devotee, who was sitting and chanting Hare Krishna. They felt the calling. They were very attracted. They just sat and listened to the one devotee chanting. And they inquired from that one devotee, is there a place? Oh yes, there's a temple in Kathmandu, a Hare Krishna temple. So they went to Hindu temple. So they went there. They didn't know what it was. Imagine the first time going to a something or other temple you've never been to. But they felt the calling. And then time passed, and then they received one of Prabhupada's books, and they started reading Prabhupada's books, and again it was wow. And then they met some devotees, and this person I'm speaking about, they're coming to Vrindavan for the Vrindavan Yatra. And that's going to be a big wow. They don't have the tools to process that big wow. But it's going to be a big wow, I'm sure. A big eye-opener, as you say in India. It was an eye-opening experience for me. So what the picture that Prabhupada is presenting here is, through the association of devotees, one has the opportunity to go beyond the serving Maya program, and he skips it, but goes beyond the trying to annihilate the service tendency and just become one with Brahman, and go to Krishna. And one who even once hears properly about Krishna, even once, properly hearing about Krishna, one can never leave it aside. Prabhupada spoke like this about devotees that leave Krishna consciousness, you know, in the West, and they were, whatever, you know, suffering. And they met Prabhupada, and so they got relief from their suffering in devotional service. And then they went away, because I don't have suffering anymore. My cause for being there is now taken away, so they went away. And even in that trying to go away, one can never forget. Even one tries to forget, one can't forget. Because that happiness it's a real standard of happiness. It makes such an impression. Even once. And I'm sure we all have our, you know, first experiences of experiencing that happiness, and we can't forget it. It may get covered. May not, you know, our consciousness may be whatever, dulled or something. But that happiness is an incomparable happiness. And it's part of what keeps us going. But, you know, spiritual reality is reality. It's not imagination. It's reality. So, what to speak of the Pandavas? If a person has that capacity of reposing service upon Krishna, and having done that even once, one can't leave it aside, what to speak of the Pandavas? Who were intimately associating with Krishna in a very personal way. So now we're going up. We're not at Braja yet. We're at Hastinapur. Some of you may have read Brihat Bhagavatamrita. Some of you may have read Sri Brahma Samhita. Both make reference to the same thing, which is the unique position of Braja. According to Brihat Bhagavatamrita and the language of Sri Brahma Samhita just presents it. Bhakti Siddhanta presents it in his purport very simply. Just he identifies that there's five different stages prior to entrance to Braja, where, you know, like the language of nectar devotion, there's perfect, more perfect, most perfect, like that. They're all perfect, but more perfect, most perfect. So, the five stages that are identified in Brahma Samhita, Sri Brahma Samhita, and Brihat Bhagavatamrita will go like from bottom to top. Jnana Bhakta. The example of Jnana Bhakta that's given is Bharat Maharaj. And then later Jad Bharat and, you know, went back to Godhead. So Jnana Bhakta, then Shuddha Bhakta. Through practice of devotion, regulative practice of devotion, one becomes fully purified. Ambarish Maharaj. Perfect. Savai Mana Krishna Padara Vindayo. Ambarish Maharaj. Then Prema Bhakta. Prema Bhakta is Hanuman. Just out of love, wishing to serve. This is, you know, the focus is upon the tendency of the living entity, constitutional tendency to serve. Serve in knowledge. Serve in pure quality. Serve in great love. Hanuman's great love. Just give me some service and zoom, zoom, zoom. off he goes to do that service with great happiness. Premapara bhaktas is those that are, that's the Pandavas. He describes actuated by pure love. Actuated or like impelled. That's what we're speaking about here. What to speak of the Pandavas? How if Krishna is about to leave, how do they feel? Not just, oh, we're going to miss him. They're it's like their life is taken from them. They're actuated by pure love. With the and as the purport here is explaining, intensified again and again and again by the intimate personal contact that they have with Krishna. Dining together, sitting together, reclining together, talking together, touching one another. Like intimate. And prematura bhaktas, those that are impelled or inspired by the majesty, this is in Dwarka, so the Yadu dynasty, members of the Yadu family, and especially Uddhava amongst them. Now the way that Brihat Bhagavatamrita presents, as well as what Sri Brahma Samhita presents, is there's the material realm, there's the coverings of the universe, there's the spiritual sky, there's the Vaikuntha planets. When Gopa Kumara goes to the Vaikuntha planets, it's amazing, super amazing. But then above the Vaikuntha planets is Ayodhya. You can say topmost of the Vaikuntha planets. It has an intimacy with association with Ram that's not the same as what's found in Vaikuntha. But it's not yet in Goloka. And in Goloka, there's an outer region, Svetadvip, in which Mathura and Dwarka are situated, and Hastinapur. These are places where there's a mix of majesty and sweetness. But there's sweetness, and then the degrees of that sweetness. But at the center, the topmost, and that's where Srimad Bhagavatam is taking us, and it's where Lord Chaitanya and his line is taking us, and we're just like, you know, so fortunate we don't even know that we're being brought into that innermost region of intimacy of love. Where the intensity of love is incredible. He who is so. Uddhava, this Brihat Bhagavatamrita, expresses that Uddhava is at the topmost stage of intimacy outside of Vrindavan in his relationship with Krishna. Due to that fact, Krishna wants to give Uddhava an opportunity to experience another kind of love, the love of the residents of Vrindavan. And so he sends him on a mission. You know, there's the ostensible purpose of, here's a message for the gopis, please deliver the message. But the other purpose is to have him experience the love of the residents in Vrindavan. He's overwhelmed at the intensity and the quality of their love. And when Krishna leaves, in the description found in Brihat Bhagavatamrita is, Narada is describing the varieties of love to Gopa Kumar. And he says, I don't want to talk about Krishna's leaving Vrindavan because it's so intense that when people who don't know what the love of Vrindavan is and they hear it, they think, oh my God, I don't want to go there. That's like, because you have a little experience of separation from Krishna, and it's awful. So I don't want to talk about it. But there's like 50 pages of him talking about it, because once he starts to talk about it, he can't stop talking about it. Because the love of the residents of Vrindavan is so intense. It's all attractive. Their love is all attractive in an incomparable way to the supreme all attractive, Krishna. But the feelings of separation that they're feeling is so devastating. So here we're hearing the feelings of the Pandavas as Krishna is about to leave. The personalities are different, but the scene is, it's a rasa. It's anticipation of separation from Krishna for those who have deep love for him. It's a rasa. Canto 1, chapter 10, we're getting this rasa of the Pandavas. They want Krishna to stay. And we've already heard that, you know, chapter 8, Kunti, the mother of the Pandavas, pleading with Krishna to stay. Please don't go. And her various appeals, emotional appeals, rational appeals, irrational appeals, all kinds of appeals. Please don't go. Krishna smiles. And he turns to get on his chariot because he's the supreme independent. One of his opulences is that one. Renunciation. He's renouncing Kunti, but he has his will. He's going to give his association to the residents of Dwarka, Yadu dynasty. And allow Kunti and the Pandavas to experience this intensification of love through anticipation of separation from Krishna. I'll just share two things. I've been preparing for going to Vrindavan, and I can tell you it's just been a delight. Just hearing of Krishna's pastimes and absorbing my thoughts in Krishna's pastimes. I'd be happy just to do that, and you guys do all the rest. So there's a very special place, one of many very special places in Vrindavan called Prem Sarovar. Prem Sarovar is north of Varsana on the road heading to Nandagram, about a kilometer or so north of Varsana. And there's a wonderful pastime where Radha and Krishna are seated at Prem Sarovar. And Vrinda is there, and various gopis, and Madhumangal and Gopa. So it's they're in a company of their associates, loving associates. And the bumblebee comes, because Radha's wearing a very wonderful garland, and the bumblebee comes and is buzzing around the garland. So she makes little motion with her hand for the bee to go away, and the bee doesn't go away, and she's disturbed. It's a pastime. And so Krishna turns to Madhumangal and says, Madhumangal, you must know some mantra. Please get rid of this bumblebee. Madhumangal agrees. He does whatever he does and comes back and says, Madhu is now gone. Radha and Krishna are seated right by one another's side. She hears Madhu has gone, and her mind goes to Madhusudana, Krishna, the killer of the Madhu demon. Madhusudana is gone. And she starts to cry. Uncontrollable crying, and Krishna's by her side. And Krishna tries to pacify Radha. I'm right here. It's okay. And she's so absorbed in the mood of Krishna is gone, she can't control herself. Seeing that intense love of Radha, Krishna begins to cry, appreciating the love of Radha. And he cries and he cries. And then the gopis are trying to pacify Krishna. And the gopas are trying to, excuse me, the gopis are trying to pacify Radha. Krishna's there. The gopas are trying to pacify Krishna. Radha's there. And they also become, they faint in the appreciation of the intensity of love of Radha and Krishna for one another. And because their life and soul is to bring the happiness of Krishna, to bring the happiness of Radha, which means to bring them together. So when you read in Nectar of Devotion, you'll find this term, prema vaichitra, prema vaichitya, which means there's conflicting, simultaneous, intense emotions of meeting and separation. They're conflicting emotions. Even when the gopis are with Krishna, simultaneous there is the anticipation that very soon Krishna is going to go. It intensifies the love of meeting to anticipate there's going to be separation. And so with Radha, just hearing Madhu is gone, this explosion, just like Prabhupada's statement here, like fire and gunpowder, kaboom! Her love explodes. Krishna has gone. Although they're with one another. Inconceivable. And their tears filled that place where they were sitting, the pond, and so it then became known as Prem Sarovar, the love of Radha and Krishna for one another, with the tears of love filling the kund. Vrindavan is such a special place. You know, there's a t-shirt, Land of Love. So that's nice. And when people think the Land of Love, they think like the ones described in the earlier part of the purport. It's a very deep and profound kind of love, and one needs to very carefully follow Shukadev Goswami and Maharaj Parikshit and their dialogue to progressively enter into Vrindavan properly. The love of Yasoda for Krishna, the love of Nanda Maharaj for Krishna, the love of Subal for Krishna, etc. The love of the gopis for Krishna, the love of the cows for Krishna, and Krishna's love for each of them. It's incomparable. It's truly all attractive. And who can understand these things? As long as one is still attracted to finding happiness through bringing the senses to some material sense object and call that happiness, this subject is far away. The entrance into the subject is far away. One can get, you know, a reflection of a reflection of a reflection, maybe. You get a hint, oh, there's something very wonderful there. But by the process of hearing regularly in a proper mood from a proper source, one can be progressively taken away from that allurement and instead become attracted to the all-attractive. That's what our life in Krishna consciousness is, if we continue to follow it carefully, properly, recognize, and through hearing of Srimad Bhagavatam and worship of the deity and residing in the holy place and these most potent activities, chanting the holy name, serving the devotees of the Lord, we do these things nicely, it will carry us to the realm of Krishna. And then when we do any one of these five things, the appreciation becomes intensified. Like the Pandavas, their attachment for Krishna has become intensified by that intimate association with him. who are we? We're like the little insignificant specks of ignorance, covered by ignorance. But we're being given this opportunity to come to that position. We don't recognize our good fortune. We're very fortunate. Continue carefully following the process and the slackening and simultaneously the attraction. And as now just end with the same sentence. Once they are, comma, I'll read the previous, by association with pure devotees and by hearing them submissively, attachment for material enjoyment becomes slackened and attraction for hearing about the transcendental activities of the Lord becomes prominent. Once they are, they will go on progressively without stoppage, comma, like fire in gunpowder. The spontaneous devotional service is a while it sounds attractive, you know, it's something that our process, those who follow Rupa Goswami and Lord Chaitanya, those are the proper Rupanugas, that's where we're going. Follow properly. And like this question the young man asked yesterday of, you know, when I leave the association of devotees and go out there in the energy, it's, I forget everything and it's very, I struggle, it's very difficult what to do. The clue is here. Any comments or questions? Srila Prabhupada ki jai.